let's take out a claim system, right, and put in a brand new one, that's a huge change. And you don't see a lot of carriers doing that, and in part because other carriers have tried it and failed miserably, can be almost a company breaker.
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast, where we dive deep into insurance innovation. Now, before we jump in, I'm just going to ask you to do one thing. You know, whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on, just click the subscribe button, and that's going to enable you to get all of the new episodes when each new episode is released. So this episode of the podcast does have a sponsor, and that's Vortex Legal. As I mentioned, innovation in the insurance field is exciting, and Vortex Legal is a unique and proven solution to help improve a company's loss ratio by substantially reducing legal expenses. You know, their nationwide network of local attorneys attend the voluminous and routine and predictable hearings for a flat rate, not an hourly rate. So Vortex Legal solution works with both staff counsel offices as well as outside law firms. They've saved many carriers millions of dollars. So if you want to learn more, just contact Jonathan Broder at 954-473-2648 or visit vortexlegal.com. Now, you know, again, I'm excited about the guest that I have here today, and that's Scott Soderstrom. Now, Scott is the co-founder and investor in FilingMate, a platform that provides a system of record for regulatory filings and data submissions. Hey, Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Abel. Excited to speak with you.
You know, so Scott, why don't you just take a moment to walk me through your background and, you know, how you and your co-founders came up with the idea for FilingMate?
Sure. I got into insurance a little bit along a non-traditional path. By training, I'm actually an accountant, started my career with one of the big four accounting firms, and spent a fair amount of time working there in their technology practice before transitioning into the world of mergers and acquisitions advisory. And there I worked mainly on private equity type clients, helping analyze and ultimately buy or sell companies in a variety of industries, from financial services to manufacturing and virtually everything in between. Ultimately left there to join a private equity firm investing primarily in tech-enabled services businesses before deciding that I'd rather operate businesses rather than invest in those businesses. With FilingMate, I get to do a little bit of both. The opportunity where I found my operating role leaving the private equity firm was with a P&C carrier, which had an innovative model for customer acquisition and operated in many ways like a technology company, focusing on channel partnerships, customer acquisition and retention metrics, and so forth. A lot of the technology buzzwords, if you will. Ultimately, I helped sell that company to a larger carrier and then had a slight detour away from P&C insurance to help co-found a healthcare-focused technology company. But P&C insurance just kept bringing me back in. So I reconnected with my co-founder here at FilingMate, who had a great idea for a business to help out compliance professionals in the insurance industry, and I was convinced we could build a great company together. So ultimately, we jumped at this opportunity to work together again.
I think that sounds like a pretty interesting background in terms of how you got back into, you know, designing this solution for FilingMate. You know, so if you don't mind, you know, what specifically does FilingMate do, and what are you solving with this product?
Yeah, so FilingMate is a platform for insurance carriers to find, collaborate on, complete, review, and ultimately submit regulatory filings. So insurance professionals can identify filings which are applicable to their company. They can share those forms internally with others in the same department or other departments to gather required information. They can submit completed forms for review and signature, like maybe to the CFO or CEO, and ultimately submit that data to regulators electronically where it's allowed, or store some tracking information where regulators are still requiring hard copy forms. So overall, we're aiming to become that compliance system of record for documents and other data that's submitted to regulators. To take a half step back, I guess, and talk a little about the problem. I'm guessing most of your listeners are familiar with the intricacies of insurance compliance, but for the rest of the world, I guess I'll draw a non-insurance parallel. When you're filing taxes, right, in general, with a relatively small set of questions and answers, a tax preparer knows what forms and sections of forms might be required for you, right? You're either married or you're single. You have a home or you rent, children or not, right? And they know what state you live in and so forth. TurboTax figured out a way to take this basic sort of question and answer model and turn taxes into a largely self-service platform based on a couple of core principles. Take out the complexity using basic questions and answers. Don't make somebody enter the same information more than once, and reduce errors with analytics and learning from the experience of others using the same platform. And in a lot of ways, FilingMate's working to become that TurboTax, if you will, for compliance and for insurance professionals. We look to understand some basic facts about a company, usually which are publicly available. In certain cases, we've got to ask some simple follow-up questions, and then we're able to identify a substantial number of forms and filings which are likely to be required by regulators. We can also pre-fill data and store that data prior to submissions. And in talking with our compliance professionals, the clients, we find that a big part of their job is actually copying and pasting the same data into different forms for the same or different regulators. One statutory accountant we talked to said that she has to enter her company's NAIC code, as an example, into dozens or even hundreds of forms or fields each quarter. So we started out by supporting mainly the finance group in an insurance company, supporting them in their annual and quarterly statement filing process. And are seeing lots of areas to grow sort of throughout the entire insurance company.
So Scott, that sounds pretty interesting. So it sounds like you guys are taking the standard filing forms that's required out of the carriers to the regulatory bodies, and then providing sort of a better way to deliver, a more streamlined way to deliver those needs based on what the regulators are requiring. What I'm thinking about is one of a couple of things. So I know, insurance carriers, from a filing perspective, they also, when they're designing their products, they're also required to file the specific products that are being designed with the rates, the rules, and the forms, in order to get it through to the regulators for approval. So I'm thinking about that aspect of the filing process as well. Now, is FilingMate also a platform that can be used to handle that portion of the life cycle, or do you see that as a future opportunity to make that a part of what FilingMate's proposition is for our carriers?
We do. Our platform is set up in a way that allows for really any area of an insurance company to understand the forms that they have to submit and ultimately send in to regulators, as well as collaborate. Right, either the forms, rates, rules, and so forth that you're referencing, frequently you're dealing with product groups, underwriting groups, compliance groups, and so forth, and actuarial, of course, as well, all kind of working together to get the right data into some sort of platform and ultimately submit it to regulators. So we see that as a tremendous opportunity for us. We haven't built out and sort of coded the forms that you're referencing specifically at this point, but it's an area that we plan to grow in here over the coming year. Another kind of thing to highlight there are some platforms out there that do cover at least some portion of what you're describing, right? SURF is probably something you're very, very familiar with. But SURF, has a few limitations as well, right? It doesn't work for every state. Not every regulator has accepted it. And at least I think at last count, somewhere around 30 or so states accept some version of SURF. But for different forms and filings, it's still helpful to have a more broad view of what data you want to enter into a platform and what data you want to submit to regulators. A lot of that same information that you're referencing for forms, for rates and rules, or even product updates, does make its way into some of the financial filings that end up coming in, some legal filings, statutory filings, ultimately even some claim filings. And so having all that information in one spot so that the company, the carrier overall, is able to know what's already been submitted to a regulator and update it accordingly, is a place where we see tremendous value.
You mentioned SURF with the forms filing, and one of the things you mentioned was that it's not available countrywide. It's not available everywhere. And when I think of the filings that carriers have to make with the regulatory filings, but also with the forms, rate, and rules filings, and so on. You know, carriers are making thousands of filings per year to each of the 50 state regulatory departments, and then also maybe the couple of jurisdictions that are out there as well. And the process is very tedious and cumbersome. You know, so from your perspective with FilingMate, did you all face any challenges in designing a product that works for all regulatory bodies that carriers need to deal with?
Well, you've got to start whenever you're building a new company and new products, right? It's easiest to start narrow, understand it, understand your market, make sure you knock it out of the park so you've got some great referenceable clients, right? And then from there, expand into some adjacent areas that make a lot of sense. So for us, we started almost as narrow as you could get. We started with statutory accountants, right? Let's talk to them about where their pain points are and how we may be able to solve them. And then in having those conversations, they quickly highlight how their colleagues in the legal department are also filing different types of forms with various regulators. And they could be the, you know, 50 state DOIs, they could be FAIR plans, they could be any number of different local, state, national regulators. So we started narrow and we're gradually expanding as any good product or technology company should do.
I think that actually makes sense, you know, to start sort of small with a specific area. And then as you find that there's other opportunities to grow and to provide additional value along the value chain, I think that's when you start to delve into those different areas. You know, now just thinking about that, you know, I could imagine with just the volume of information that you're gathering and, you know, the data that's being filed, that you also probably have a lot of data stored or available from the carriers in the process. So with FilingMate, is there, you know, any data analytics capabilities to help carriers better understand the information that's being sent out? Or do you see that as an opportunity for FilingMate at some point?
It's a little bit of both. You know, we are still relatively early stage in gathering data from our various partners at this point, but we are able to start identifying areas where perhaps historically on older filings there may have been an error made, and it's likely an administrative error not causing a whole lot of heartburn, but still something that, you know, by looking at how one company fills out a particular form and then looking at how another company fills out the form, if there's some inconsistencies and a relatively consistent business model between those two carriers, it's something interesting to explore, right? And we should be using our underlying data in order to really identify those opportunities to help our carrier partners fill out the forms in the most, I guess, consistent way across the industry. We find that doing something like that over time will, you know, hopefully reduce the number of errors that are on forms, reduce the amount of rework that's required, and maybe even reduce some fines and penalties if we get the right fields in the right data in the right fields and submit it at the right time.
You know, so Scott, I'm going to ask you a different type of a question. So, you know, at this time, you're also a partner at NextGen Ventures. You know, so how do you identify the best opportunities to advise and invest in? And then also talk about your role there, if you don't mind taking the opportunity to do that.
Sure. NextGen Ventures is it's a unique platform for venture capital. And unlike the traditional venture capital model, where you've got a relatively small number of managing directors and a handful of venture partners, a small investment team, they've kind of flipped the model on its head and said, you know what we need are hundreds or even thousands of venture partners to be out looking for new deals, analyzing deals and putting them through due diligence where they have industry expertise. And we should be using that network as well to ultimately sell products that perhaps you know, the fund has invested in and where some of our venture partners have operating roles in perhaps a decision-making capacity or otherwise. So by way of example, right, we looked at a handful of different accounting systems which are used by small and medium-sized technology companies. And it was so easy for us to then gather from our large network dozens of CFOs and VPs of finance and controllers who've looked at candidly countless accounting systems over the years and get their real feedback on how a particular system might work in their particular situation, and be able to use that information then to make a more informed investment decision. So, it's a very interesting platform. It started in Washington, D.C., expanded to New York, and now has kind of gone nationwide, where they have local offices doing sourcing and due diligence, and then leveraging a national platform where it makes sense to really continue to refine the investment thesis, to perform due diligence, and ultimately decide whether or not it's an interesting investment opportunity for the fund or our limited partners.
I find that to be very interesting, just in terms of how you define, you know, the investment opportunities for the fund and for the partners. You know, when I think about that, you know, as you were talking, I started thinking about, you know, Eric Ries in the Lean Startup. What that lays out is, you know, why he thinks startups tend to fail. And one of the things that that Eric points out is that startups like to plan like established businesses. But yet, you know, when I see a lot of carriers or incumbent carriers apply, let's say, structured principles, I see them start to apply that to startup ideas. That not only comes in the form of the strategy around it, but also how they plan on investing in those startup ideas as well. And what they're doing is they're applying the structured principle that they may wind up applying to more to ideas that's more mature in order to try to get those outsized returns. You know, so from your perspective, do you think that that's the best way to grow new ideas in incumbents, or should they take more of a lean approach, take a different approach to how they're going to invest in and how they're going to grow some of the new ideas within the carrier?
Well, you know, I think it does depend on each carrier's appetite and really what their objectives are as they're going into this. There are carriers out there who are more inclined to invest earlier in a company's life cycle and then see that investment for what it is, right? It may end up benefiting the carrier through some sort of, you know, better analytics or some interesting product features or something along those lines. It'll depend on the specific investment. But in those instances, the carriers are frequently out for an investment return, which may also have the ancillary benefit of sort of informing the rest of the broader carrier, right? So, you know, you think of the handful of dedicated VC funds that have been built up within carriers, and some are more inclined to do those earlier stage investments, whereas others are out looking for, you know, more, call it accretive, right? Near-term accretive opportunities. And really, each carrier has their own kind of appetite. For me personally, as I think about the opportunities that I've seen through NextGen, which isn't exclusively insurance related, I should mention that it's far more inclined to be looking at technology-enabled services, which could be in financial services or healthcare or any number of other industries. We tend to invest earlier and believe that by being involved early and doing that diligence early and working closely with a broad range of experts in particular industries, that we can help refine a business model, help get some feedback really quickly to the product engineering and senior leadership teams at these startups, and ultimately help them succeed faster and get some great references from our own venture partners who end up using their products.
So you mentioned the technology component in terms of what you all over at NextGen Ventures invest in. And I think about the insurance industry, and I truly believe that we're at a real point of transformation in the insurance industry. There's just so many different things that's occurring within our industry from a technology perspective, from enabling or enhancing so many different parts of the value chain. That either startups or carriers are starting to see that there's opportunities to do things a little bit differently. You know, so where do you see opportunities for innovation long-term in the insurance value chain?
Yeah, you know, it's a really exciting time for the insurance industry. In a lot of ways, insurance, well, it's been around for a long, long time, right? And like a lot of mature industries, there are some legacy systems involved, legacy processes involved, and it takes time for technology professionals, for the senior leadership, and so forth to overcome some of the risks that perhaps an early stage company or a more tech focused company might be more willing to take on earlier in their life cycle, right? So you think even about things like cloud-based SaaS providers, right? Vendors going into insurance companies. It wasn't that long ago, and probably if you talk to a few CIOs or CTOs these days about your new SaaS solution, you're going to end up getting, you know, 1,000 questions about your infrastructure and what, you know, security protocols you have in place and so forth. And, you know, the more, I guess, modern or, you know, forward-looking guys or gals and technology groups will accept that you're on AWS and have a pretty good idea of what that means, instead of, you know, asking where it's hosted and whether or not you have raised floors and some sort of, you know, fire suppression system involved. So, you know, from that perspective, I think there are more and more opportunities to work with carriers in a variety of capacities, and the appetite for working with earlier stage companies is really developing over the last few years, and then certainly in the short term here as we look to the future. In terms of where I see particular opportunities, there's a lot going on sort of throughout the insurance P&L, right? You're looking at opportunities which can help increase revenue through different customer acquisition strategies and forward-facing marketing companies or products that can help drive consumers to the right products. There are a number of companies out there that I'm sure you're well aware of that are looking to reduce loss costs, either by reducing fraud through various analytics or you know, actually making for fewer costs as a result of earlier detection and reducing the severity or frequency of losses. Plenty of folks out there as well looking at loss adjustment expenses. I don't know how many different drone-related companies I've seen come through the P&C world trying to come up with different ways to keep insurance adjusters off of roofs and increase their efficiency by using technology. But for us at FilingMate, you know, we kind of focused on the back office. There's a huge amount of paperwork within the insurance industry. And really, any time, as we kind of look at the product runway here and where different opportunities may exist for us, you know, we look at the fax machine, right? And where is that thing sending and receiving information? Because a fax machine at the end of the day is really like one of the first APIs, right? It's a way to get data from one point to another point. The only problem with it, or one of the problems with it, is that you're actually having to type in data on the other side. Now, we can use OCR and some other technologies to hopefully reduce that a bit, but there's a huge amount of paperwork still in insurance, and we found that the compliance area was really underserved and an opportunity for us to help a carrier reduce the amount of paperwork, reduce the errors, and ultimately have a more secure, stable platform for finding compliance data.
I actually, you know, have a lot of experience working with folks in the compliance area, and what I always found was that those areas or that specific area is one of the slower areas to innovate. You know, so when you look at the processes that's occurring there, it really is very similar to a process that they might have been doing 10 years ago or 15 years ago. It's been really slow. You know, so as I see what FilingMate is doing, I absolutely see this as an innovation that's going to help to improve that process, and, you know, and over time, you know, just change the way and make it much more effective and efficient for that area of the insurance value chain. Now, you know, you mentioned a lot of the other, let's say, companies that are trying to target different areas of the value chain, and there are definitely a lot of them out there. You know, so for your platform, you know, how are you staying ahead of the competition?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we think that we have a few different advantages going for us. One, my co-founder comes from a compliance background, right? So you do see that a number of these earlier stage insurance-focused tech firms have limited actual insurance experience. Now, there are absolutely many, many exceptions to that rule. But I guess I'd highlight that insurance, and specifically we're dealing with the regulation of insurance, it's not something where you just sort of like pick up a quick book and all of a sudden you understand how it goes, right? Or you do a 1 or 2 day seminar and you're suddenly an expert. There's a lot of nuance here, and having folks who have lived and breathed this particular compliance function and dealt with the heartburn of filling out banker's boxes after banker's boxes worth of paperwork and shipping it out to regulators, that kind of experience can't be quickly replicated and then turned into software, right? There's a wealth of experience there that we're able to leverage and turn into technology. But we also cannot have our heads in the sand. We've got to be looking at what's going on out there, exploring opportunities to work with newer companies as well as, you know, more legacy platforms. If SURF out there is one of the standards, right? The NAIC is the owner of SURF, National Association of Insurance Commissioners. They own the platform. A number of regulators require it in certain cases. We've got to look at them as a potential partner, right? How can we interface better with SURF and make it better? That platform's been around since, I want to say, the mid to late 90s, and it's improved over time. We think that there are a number of areas where it can be improved even further, and believe that we have a solution that allows not only for the improvement of some of these legacy platforms, but also has the ability to connect different areas of an insurance company to some of these silos where data had historically resided. It's not always easy for the actuarial department and the finance department to be talking about what's going on in a particular jurisdiction. But having all that data stored in one spot makes it a much easier conversation, and at least people know where to start the conversation and know what's been exchanged with particular regulators in the past.
I want to pull out one of the things that you mentioned in, you know, what you just said, and you mentioned how one of the workflows occur, right? And that workflow was, an employee might call up a box and get information out of that and then ship it off and so on. Now, something that I've also seen occur is that where there's an opportunity to do things a little bit differently, to change what you're doing from the status quo, employees in some larger companies, they do try to infuse that sort of different way of doing things into their workflow. But then what you oftentimes find is that, the leader of an organization or just the culture of that organization may not support doing things a little bit differently. So how does one go about really driving change in an organization in order to think and do things a little bit more differently and more effectively within their roles?
Yeah, I think it's actually broader than you're suggesting as well. We're dealing as well with insurance regulators, right? Wouldn't it be great for all of us if every insurance regulator wanted a form in exactly the same format? Right, just knowing that this particular field, what all the different regulators want is X, whatever X might be. It would be a glorious world for product folks and compliance professionals and so forth. But unfortunately, that's not the way it is, right? Every regulator, with a few exceptions, right, but generally thinks that they have the best form, and it's the best form for the people of their various state or jurisdiction, and they require that information to be submitted in a particular way, and even if there were a better way to kind of get all that data to that regulator, they may not be willing to make that change because they're the ones who are actually averse to changing the way that they're doing things. So, for us, the way that we've kind of thought about this problem is, let's not try to change everybody right away. Changing a regulator, changing a particular insurance company that may not be so open to adopting new platforms or new technologies, they're not going to be our first partner. That doesn't mean they won't be on our list at some point. But in the interim, what we'd love to do is recreate the process as it exists right now and then begin chipping away with technology about making that process substantially more efficient and effective, right? So by way of example, if for a new form or a new rate filing, it has to get through the actuarial department, the product department, the legal department, and let's just for the sake of the argument say that the CEO actually ends up signing off on something as well, because that's how it works in that particular company these days. We're able to create that sort of flexible workflow that can replicate how they do things and then gradually layer in new types of technologies, right? If a particular form or if a particular process, an internal process, doesn't require an actual like ink signature, we can start submitting signatures in an electronic way, like click to approve, that kind of thing. Very basic, exists in a lot of other areas, but even something like that can be an incremental change, where under the hood, we're actually trying to do things in a more revolutionary way. But it doesn't have to always be, rip off the whole Band-Aid, totally change everything about how you do. There's a new sheriff in town. We can work with carriers who have different levels of appetite for change and be able to kind of help ease them into things over time, showing some early wins. And then from there, allowing them to take more measured risks and ultimately get to the spot where we want them to be.
As you were describing the 50 different jurisdictions or the multiple jurisdictions that one would work in and them not having the same information, even though you're providing something fairly similar, but wanting it to be addressed a little bit differently on a form, I sort of laugh because I think, and from what I know, my own experience and others that I talk to in the industry, that is one of the most time-consuming thing, right? Is as you're submitting these forms, as you're submitting it for review to these different regulatory bodies, having to take the same information and replicate it, but do it just slightly a little bit differently for, let's say, one state or completely different for another state. So I think that as you all are designing a more streamlined way of doing this, I think that that's absolutely going to create, a level of efficiency for the folks in that are dealing with the documentation of what's going into this form and pulling that information together. Just thinking about that, and I completely get what you're saying around it'll be tough to rip the Band-Aid off. When you want to do something a little bit differently, you definitely don't want to go all in, because it'll be a real tough pill for folks to swallow, because, just even from a cultural perspective, there's a lot of people that may not be used to doing things differently and may be used to doing things the same way that they've always done it. But just in terms of, what you do and those that you advise, how would you promote a culture of innovation?
Yeah, I've heard on your podcast at different times you've referred to Clayton Christensen and the Innovator's Dilemma, or Richard Foster and his Attacker's Advantage, kind of a similar corollary there. And, for me, it seems like taking measured small risks on things is really the way to go. The idea of let's take out a claim system, right, and put in a brand new one, that's a huge change. And you don't see a lot of carriers doing that, and in part because other carriers have tried it and failed miserably. And when they do those kinds of things, it can be almost a company breaker, right, when those kinds of big, massive changes go poorly, or certainly that they cost a whole lot more than were originally budgeted. So taking a smaller risk in an area of the company where perhaps you're more able to take that risk and understand the long view of where your potential vendor is looking to go, it helps to have that long view as well as being able to take a small bet. So again, by using FilingMate as an example, if we can talk to accountants and have them upload a company's gross written premium number in one spot, right? Because there are a lot of different forms that are ultimately going to want to know what the group's written premium is across their various subsidiaries or whatnot. But if they upload the data once, if they verify that the number is correct once and it can be populated on 75 different forms, you know, it makes it a whole lot easier for that individual to not have to copy and paste it 75 different times. They simply put it in one spot, they check it in one spot, and then confirm that it has worked across a much larger population of actual forms. So if we can take a relatively small bet, right? Like put in your company's NAIC code here and watch it appear on every form you ever want to fill out. That can be, you know, saving a couple of minutes here and there. And when someone gets comfortable with something like that, then keep expanding the scope of the project with your partners to continue to add efficiency to your organization and ultimately grow the relationship if it's something that makes sense for both parties.
Yeah, and you mentioned the saving a couple of minutes, let's say, on a form in terms of what may be being filled out. And actually, you know, as you think about just the volume over time, I think that couple of minutes then tends to extend into hours or, you know, a multitude of hours over time, you know. So I do think that that's absolutely a great approach. And then getting that buy-in, you know, from the folks, you know, as they get more comfortable with what you're doing, I think will help to, you know, add to that that culture of innovation in the long term. You did mention an example around a carrier or, you know, or hearing anecdotes about carriers that could potentially be, you know, implementing something, whether it's a large system, and then the term you used was failed miserably. So, you know, do you mind, you know, sharing an example of where you might have either failed or pivoted with FilingMate, and then what the outcome of that was and how you got to that outcome?
Yeah, you know, our first kind of iteration of FilingMate was relying much more on an API-focused kind of approach, right? Can we build a platform that will allow data in and out, but with really a limited UI? Because we didn't think in our initial set of conversations that we would just be sort of that we had an opportunity to maybe hook into a financial system, hook into a claim system, hook into a policy management system, and then, you know, magically it's all buttoned up here in our FilingMate compliance platform. We put a nice bow on it and put it on whoever's desk needs to actually sign off on something, and it's automatically transmitted to the right regulator. It turns out, however, in insurance and in other industries, I'm sure as well, that not everyone is immediately accepting of a platform where you can't sort of see how the sausage is being made, right? Where it's all happening in a black box, kind of behind the scenes. So we've really been spending a lot of our time here over the past, let's call it even year, building out our UI to make it more of a user experience, right? Allow a particular person to understand how a particular form or filing needs to be completed, include a lot more information in instructions in actual written words about what it is that we're trying to accomplish on a particular form or with a particular field in a form, so that they understand how we're walking through a process and helping them get from today is March 1st. What's due with all of my different regulators? Or hopefully better yet, today is March 1st, what's going to be due at the end of June with all my regulator partners? So, you know, trying to kind of make it a little bit more bite-sized, user-focused, and still have the ability to hook into systems where we have that ability, but not rely on it exclusively. Instead, allow, as I sort of mentioned before, allow a user to take a more measured, controlled step, I guess, towards automation. And ultimately, it'd be great if we could get them fully there, but we're also very comfortable working with folks who want to have that more hands-on experience through our application.
Great. Well, hey, Scott, you know, I do want to say thank you for your time here today and talking about FilingMate, talking about yourself and your thoughts and your concepts and innovation. You know, if our audience and our listeners wanted to learn more about yourself or FilingMate, you know, how can I get them that information?
Well, a couple different ways. We will be at InsurTech Boston, which you, one of your prior guests, Mike Albert, had mentioned. That's going to be at District Hall, November 9th at about 6 p.m. Love to get as many people there at the event as possible. Mike's already done a great job selling that. So hopefully everybody already has their tickets. But if not, I think a few tickets are still available, and we'd love to see you there. Also, feel free to shoot me an email at scott@filingmate.com. Excited to hear from any of your listeners.
Great. Well, Scott, once again, thank you. I truly do appreciate it, and I look forward to continuing to follow the successes of FilingMate.
Thank you, Abel. Really appreciate it.
Hey, everybody. So thank you for listening to the podcast. You know, just quickly, I want to give a thank you to Julia Yabara and also Owen Gallagher at Agency Checklists. Earlier this week, we did an interview just to talk about my thoughts on insurance innovation, and also they gave me a platform to really talk about the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast. You know, I'm hoping I'm doing a service to the insurance industry, and I just want to say thank you to them and to everyone for listening.